You know, the verses we're going to read tonight are beautiful verses, but most of the time we don't take them in the context in which they're given. And I think we've got to be careful of that. We can about make the Bible say whatever we want it to say. And we've got to be careful. We don't want to remove things from where they're at because they're there for a purpose. This passage of Scripture, I think, is one of those, and I'll share why. You believe God is a God of impossibilities or improbabilities? Improbabilities doesn't have to be as good a God as the impossibility. Do you agree with that? I think, like for instance, last Sunday, me and Rochelle, as we left church, I shared this Wednesday, we were praying about who we're going to invite for Friend Day. And lo and behold, that night, we ended up at a house where Josh and them had bought a gun cabinet. We ended up in their house. I knew him. Invited him to church. Thought that was the one, right? Well, yesterday, we were talking about this medical team we're taking to Belize. And I said, we really need to get a hold of a pharmacist in Belize. And I said, Miss Tulsi's daughter's a pharmacy in Belize. Now listen, we're talking about this 10 minutes before this next thing happens. And I look over there and I said, isn't that Marlene Tulsi? And she said, I don't know. And I stopped, rolled my window down. She looked at me, took her sunglasses off. Brother Steve, I said, Marlene, I'm just talking about you. Improbability or possibility? Impossibility. Which one? I say improbability. The odds of that happening are not real high. So I had another opportunity to invite somebody to church today. So I had two. One came. Amen. Right? So I'm talking about it. Next thing you know, I'm seeing the lady. She got here. Her daughter's going to UK. And she just came here to try to help her daughter find an apartment. And that's why she was here, just for a couple of weeks. Improbability or impossibility? I say improbability. But we serve a God who's the God of impossibilities. Remember the first time I think we hear that is when the angel come to Mary about this birth. And it said, with God, nothing shall be what? Has there ever been another virgin birth? It's impossible. It's impossible. But we serve the God of impossibilities. And I think in our story tonight, when we read this Scripture in its context, you will see that God again. But also be reminded that He wants to do the same thing in your life as He did this man's life. So follow with me if you would. Jeremiah 29. Here's the words that we all know, and then we'll talk about it and look at some more stuff. For thus saith the Lord, verse 10. First of all, I've got to do this. Who's Jeremiah writing to? Alright? Somebody said Nation Israel. Who said that? JT, some others. Alright. Technically right, but I need more technicality. He's not just writing to the children of Israel, Bobby. He's writing to the children of Israel who are in captivity. Remember the Shadrach, the Meshach, the Abednegoes, and Daniel? Those guys have been taken captive and taken to where? Babylon. So that's where they're at. Jeremiah is going to prophesy to those people. How do you know that, Brother Steve? Well, chapter 29, verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter of Jeremiah the prophet, sent from Jerusalem to the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So it's good to know who this letter's been written to, not just anyone, and we use it that way, but it's written to a certain group of people, alright? So, knowing that, verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. So God says, in 70 years, I'm bringing you back. Now here's a question I got to ask you to keep you awake for a few minutes tonight. Just because God is in something doesn't mean you won't have to go through some hard times. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean it's all going to be hunky-dory. There's going to be some bad things that can happen in our lives. But here God is saying, it's going to get bad, but I'm telling you, in 70 years I'm going to bring it back good. Alright? Then He says, verse 11, the words that we always quote to everybody. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil to give you an expected end. So Jeremiah's writing this letter. He's writing to some people who's in captivity. They've been taken away as kids. Their names have been changed. They couldn't eat the food that they normally would have ate. This is the group of people. And he said, listen. He said, I'm writing you this letter to let you know that God has good thoughts to you. Does that make things better, Terry, just because God has good thoughts? What about the trouble I'm in? Well, God has good thoughts, Bobby. Yeah, but I'm in some problems here. I know, but God has good thoughts. But, read the rest. A peace and not evil to give you what? An expected end. God, whether you and I can see this or not, and we probably came from where we're standing and sitting, God got this all worked out. And when it's all over, Greg, it comes out good. We just got to get there. I know how the book ends. Susan, it's really good. No pain, no sickness, no death. I'm like, amen, amen, amen. No crying, amen. That's me. Take me there. But he says, see, that's where we're going. But here's where we got to go to get there. Messed up world. Is it going to get better? I think it is, Brother Steve. You know what happened Friday? I think everything's heading the right direction. I'm like, where are you guys living? The Bible says as the days go longer, it's going to get worse. I'm not dependent on Washington and Frankfurt to make my life better. I'm dependent on God. I'm going to trust Him all the way to the end. That's the message I want you all to get tonight. I want you to see when this has been written. He said, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. That's what Solomon said in 2 Chronicles. There's going to come a time y'all are going to need me, and I'm going to be right there listening when you call for me. I'm thinking there was a time in our country when we should have been calling to Him, but we thought we were making it good ourselves. But I don't know about anybody in the room besides Steve, but I'm finding myself, Brother John, calling a lot more often than I used to. And one of the reasons is because these little ones. I'm thinking, you know what? I can ride this thing out, I think, to the end. They're just getting started. Amen? And so it causes me to pray harder. God, help us. We need you. Then you call for me and you shall go and pray and I will hearken to you. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with what? That's exactly how somebody gets saved, by the way. Not saying words, but saying it from the heart. Amen? When I asked young Case this morning, are you sure? He said, yes, Brother Steve. Mom's worried to death. Dad's worried to death. Does he understand? Does he understand? Does he know everything? He don't even know any Greek and Hebrew yet, Carrie. But he can trust Jesus as his Savior. Amen? You don't have to know any... What's the word I keep bringing out? Eschatology? You don't have to know that. Because I don't. But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. Amen? I know where I'm going when the time comes. I will be found of you, verse 14, saith the Lord. I will return away your captivity. I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you not to be carried away captive. But here's what he did not say, Brother Arnie. He did not say you would escape captivity. Y'all catch what I said? I'm going to bring you back. It's going to be all good. Some of you may not even be alive when that time happens. But I'm going to make it better. You need to do what? What do you think Jeremiah is saying? You need to what? Trust me. Now here's where the story got good for Steve this week. Flip a couple of pages to chapter 32. If I was outlining, which I'm not very good at, I would have said something like this. Wherever you're at right now does not mean it could end that way. It could end better. Some people see a dead end in life. And I'm saying it doesn't have to be that way. There can be light at the end of the tunnel. It can be better. You've just got to not give up on God. And I think the whole writings of Jeremiah is about that. So go to chapter 32. Let me bring you up to date. Israel had retreated back into Jerusalem behind the wall. Every city that was anything had a wall around it. And they depended upon that wall for what? Protection. And so they'd get in there, and the enemy would always surround them, but sometimes these walls are like 30 foot thick. And sometimes walls can be as high as 90 foot high. I mean, these things can be huge. But I'm going to tell you what armies would do, because armies were patient back then. They would siege a city. Anybody ever seen old army movies like when castles were, and they were going to siege a city, let me tell you what they would do. They would start stacking rocks up, Josh. For years and years, they'd stack these rocks up against the wall. And you know what they were doing? They were building a ramp, Letitia, to get in. Now, everybody inside the wall could only do what? They could just watch. They'd done everything they could, Daniel, to fight off the enemy. Here they are in behind their wall, but on the outside you got the enemy building a ramp. That's what it's called, besieging the city. They would build a ramp, and finally they get the last rock laid, and then they would enter the city and take it over. Chapter 32, Jeremiah is alive when Nebuchadnezzar laid the last rocks of the ramp and is about to besiege the city. Now, look up here, Bible trivia. The chance to get Brother Greg and Sherry take you out. Where's Jeremiah when he writes chapter 32? No peeping. I've seen that, Susan, no peeping. He's in a dungeon. He's in a well. He's in a dungeon. He's a prisoner himself. But what keeps coming to him is what we need more of. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God keeps coming to him, and he keeps sharing what God has to say. Now watch chapter 32. This is so cool. Please don't miss this. The Word came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. Remember the ramp. And Jerusalem, the prophet, was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's. You know why he was shut up? Read this, verse 3. For Zedekiah, the king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord. You know what? You know what Jeremiah was doing? He kept going around telling everybody, we're going to get conquered by Nebuchadnezzar and army. He kept telling the king of Jerusalem, we're going to get conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. We feel like, I think things are getting better, Melissa. I think we're going to make it. And all of a sudden, Jeremiah would show up. Oh, no. Nebuchadnezzar's about to get the wall done. He's going to take us over. And Zedekiah says, you know what? We've got to shut him up. Do you think, by the way, that people would like to shut up big mouth preachers? Do you think? I think so. I think so. Jeremiah put him in a hole because all he was doing was spreading doom and gloom, Greg. The world was trying to say, it's going to get better. Hang on, people. That's what the king's trying to get the people to say. And Jeremiah's like, it's not going to get better, folks. We're about to be taken over. We're all about to be captive. What do you want to do to that guy? I just shut him up. So they put him in the hole and they shut him up. Now watch this. This is when I realized he was the God of impossibilities. Verse 6. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalem, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anath, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. Now, please stay awake for this story. This is so cool. Jeremiah's in this hole because he won't even prophesy out on the street anymore. He's a prisoner. And God still has something to say. So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and he said, Jeremiah, your cousin's going to come and your cousin's going to say your uncle has a piece of land in Anath and I want you to buy it. We're about to be besieged. What good is the land? And all that Jeremiah asked, he says, okay. Now watch this. Verse 8. That was a prophecy. That's what's going to happen. So Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court. God just says, your cousin's coming, going to say your uncle's land. The next breath, John, his cousin shows up. Improbability or impossibility? I'm going impossibility now. So the uncle shows up, the cousin shows up, and he says, according to the word of the Lord, he said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anath, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine, buy it for thyself. Then I knew that it was the word of the Lord. I would have said amen to that. If God would have said, tomorrow, somebody is going to give you money to buy you a new truck. I thought, well, yeah, amen to that. And tomorrow, somebody that I don't know walks up and says, here's the keys to a new truck. Dear Lord, I would know that was from God. Amen? Exactly what happened in the story. God says, your cousin's coming. He's going to sell you the land. He's in a hole. His cousin shows up. He's in the hole. Hey, cuz. My dad decided to sell you the farm. I know. God told me yesterday. Now, here's where it gets really good. I won't waste your night with it, but I would challenge you to read it. You know what happens? Well, let's read verse 9. And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son that was in Anath, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. Verse 10 tells us he got witnesses. They sealed it. They put it in a clay pot. They had witnesses sign the deed. And he said, this land, Josh, is yours. There's only one problem I see in the whole story. The next chapter, the place gets besieged. And Babylon owns it now. So you own land that you don't own. Y'all hear what I said? You own land that you don't own. But you know what Jeremiah did, Brother Joe? He stood his ground. He said, God said, this land is mine. I paid for it. Listen, he's in a dungeon, Don, and he's sending silver and paying for land that's about to be besieged. Does anybody hear me? This is the kind of faith you and I are going to have to get if we're going to get through this life. That God is the God who does what He says He'll do. And the problem in 2022 is we Christians have forgot who God is. He's the God of impossibilities. He buys this land. Read this with me, verse 14. Thus saith the Lord of the hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and the evidence which is open, and put them in the earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. He didn't say how many days, Brother Arnie, but he said, one day, you will own houses again right here. You'll have vineyards right here. This will all be yours again right here. Just go put it in a clay pot and do what with it? Just hold on to it for a few days. Now, how many of us are patient enough to hold on to it for a few days? Brother Paul, I've had trouble holding on to 10 cows for a few days. Because everybody tells me the cattle's went up. And I'm thinking, good grief, I better get out of the cattle business. Because I usually buy high and sell low. This could be the first time in Steve's life he's ever bought low and sold high. But something tells me, Bev, hold on. Maybe it's the devil, I don't know. But Jeremiah knew who was talking to him, amen? He knew it was God, and God said, just put it in the pot and hang on to it. You'll need it later. Because I'm going to take this land back over, and it's going to be ours again and yours again. So Jeremiah prays a prayer. I'm not going to read it all to you, but can I read a verse or two? If you don't care, verse 16. Now when they delivered the evidence of the purchase to Barak, the son of Neri, I prayed unto the Lord, O Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm. There's nothing too hard for Thee. Amen? Verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. This is God speaking back to Jeremiah. Is there anything too hard for me? No. So flip the page. Verse 42. Verse 38 says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now everybody knows the story in the Old Testament about Nehemiah. Nehemiah comes back, and what's Nehemiah do? He begins to rebuild the wall. But I think, Brother Cecil, we're talking about a different time in history here. They were talking about a different time in history. See, Israel does come back again, but not full force like they once were. And then Jesus Christ is born. Amen? Remember that? But there's come a day and time during that 1,000 years reign of Christ when He will be their God, He says, and they will be what? His people. Almost exactly the same words that Jeremiah says. See, I think, Miss Marilyn, if we think really detailed about this, Jeremiah really never did see this all come to pass, Brother Greg. But he believed it would one day. And can I tell you all something? That one day's coming. See, you and I can have the same focus. You say, well, Brother Steve, that's just great because Jeremiah finally got to go back and enjoy the farm and everything else, live happily ever after. That's not how it ends for Jeremiah. But he was looking past now. You ever think about looking past right here? I didn't used to, Brother Don. I used to think about just right here. But as I'm turning the corner on age, I'm starting to look past here. There's a different land, a different place. I'm kind of looking forward. There's actually a song, I've never been so homesick before. I'm starting to feel a little homesick for a place I've never been. That'd make a good song, wouldn't it? I think I'd put Jubilant in there somewhere in that song. I'd get censored. I got censored this morning when the girl sung the song. They censored us. Yeah. I probably just got censored because I said they censored us. But you know what? Y'all heard it. Amen. Share it with somebody. Let me close with you. If you're looking at chapter 32, verse 42, "And thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them." Now, I read this last week and I'm like, oh, this is good. I read 2 or 3 days just studying Jeremiah. And then I had a question, Phyllis, that just popped in my head. I wonder why this uncle's land was so important to him. Why that made the story so interesting. Because it did to me. Because he's in a pit and this uncle's going to sell him the land. He's got coming to him, and he says, "Oh yeah, well, I'll buy that land." And I'm thinking, what's so good about that land? Y'all know the end of the story? No? You want to just leave it hanging or just let it go and we'll talk about it next week? Go to chapter 1. This is where it all started. Seems like everything always starts in the front of the book, don't it? That's something I'm noticing as I read the Bible, Brother John. The first chapter has a lot to do with what happens in the end. Jeremiah chapter 1. "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in" what? "In the land of Benjamin." Would y'all be shocked to find out that Jeremiah was about to buy his home place? How important do you think your home place is? The place you knew home. And all of a sudden you find out you could own it. Because God says you could. Would you be a little bit excited? Now, I want you to read this with me because these words have always stuck with all of us. These words have been important to all of us. Verse 4. "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." That's good stuff right there. "Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God had a plan for this unborn baby before he was ever an unborn baby. Huh? He had a plan. And the plan was, Brother JT, you're going to prophesy for me. And in the midst of all this, it's going to go down bad. You're going to be taken captive. You're going to be imprisoned. But you're going to get a chance to buy the family farm. Buy it because one day I'm bringing y'all back and this land's going to be yours. When everybody's out buying land, you're going to bust up in a clay jar and say, "Ha, hurry on the land." Woo! Isn't that the God of impossibilities or improbability? That is faith. That's what you and I are supposed to be living by. If you're living and walking by sight, Sister Carrie, everything Jeremiah was saying was not good. But God is saying, don't walk by sight, Steve. Walk by faith. Lean on my promises and hang on to them. Because I keep my word. So what can we learn today? I don't know. You lost me a long time ago at Anoth. I know. But you go back home and read the story. It's a pretty cool story. But here's what I want you to know tonight. You and I have a lot of promises been given to us by God. I love these. "I'll never leave you or forsake you." I love this one in John 10. No one can take me from the Father's hand. I love this one in John 14. I go and prepare a place for you. I'm going to show up in heaven one day, not unexpected. I love it when the preacher shows up unexpected. I've showed up at people's houses and you can see the look on their face, Tisa. I didn't know you were coming. Did we have an appointment? No, I just thought I'd show up today. Ah! Wasn't ready for you. But when I get there, Brother Greg, they're expecting me. The time had already been set in stone. God had already fixed the place. And when I show up, there's a mint on the pillow, Cecil. We've been waiting for you, Steve. Huh? And then it's going to be Peter that gives me the tour. Jesus Himself is going to show me around. Let me show you, Steve, what we got. This is ours. I'm going to say, woohoo! I've been a Baptist my whole life. I've been wanting to pitch a fit for a long time. Yeah! You're going to say, well, Brother Steve's here. I heard him. I'm going to tell you something. I have not seen or ear heard the things that God has prepared for them. Woo! I want to be a Jeremiah. I don't care if I got to be in the pit. I know what's coming. It's already signed and sealed deed. It's just waiting on me. Y'all with me? This is my story. This is your story. But you and I could just live in this life and be upset, worried, anxiety take over, fretting over everything. It ain't going to change it. You know why? Because He's already got it laid out for us. You just got to hang on for the ride. Exactly right. Are you all ready? You ready to walk by faith? You ready to just be in the pit if you have to and listen to the Word of God and say, I got a word from the Lord. Y'all ever get one of those? You should every morning. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Father, Lord, tonight, Lord, we thank You so much for just stories like Jeremiah that maybe we just read through and use in some sermon somewhere. But Lord, when we look at it in the context of what it's written, Lord, what kind of faith did Jeremiah had? How he was about to be overtaken and taken captive by the enemy. But right before it happened, he had a chance to buy some property that meant a lot to him. Because You had promised him one day, You're going to come back here and get this land. So Lord, I thank You for faith like Jeremiah. We talk about Abraham's faith, but Lord, I'm thinking about Jeremiah's faith tonight. Lord, help us to be like these men of the Bible and trust You more. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What was